everyone, and welcome to Take Two Radio. I'm Pam, your host. And with me tonight is my good buddy, David. Say hello, David.
Hi, Pamela. How are you this evening?
I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing better, thank you.
Good, good. I hope you had a good day. I know that we're going to have a good evening right now because we get to welcome the creator and genius behind the very mysterious web series called The Inn. And along with him, we get Miss Lola herself, played by the very beautiful and Emmy-nominated actress Denise Alexander. And welcome, Steve and Denise.
Hi, thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Welcome to you.
Thank you. So how has everybody's day been going? You guys been busy working, or what are you doing?
I'll let you go first, Steve.
Why am I going first? You go first. Ladies first.
Okay. I was going to gather my thoughts. I've been at home today, which has been unusual lately, so I've been sort of luxuriating in that. I've been on the computer forever doing work, and I love that. I love being at home. I'm not in my jammies, but I'm sort of in a caftan. I love being able to say, I think I'd like a little smackerel of something right now and walk out to the kitchen. What could be better than that? And now I get to talk about The Inn on top of
yeah.
it. So a good day so far.
Wonderful. And Steve?
I have a huge job that's due tomorrow that is like 99% written and done that I have to turn in to a client. And so I was wrapping that up, and then I literally just about 45 minutes ago got out of the pool. I swim every other day at the – there's a public pool, except today was like bring every child in Palm Springs to pool day.
yeah.
So it was crazy. I'm so used to just being adults, but they took half of the lanes out to make room in the regular area of the pool, and then – the whole time I'm swimming, all I'm thinking about is, because this is all that goes through my mind around children, is what disease do you have? What do I don't want to catch a cold.
No.
I don't want to get the flu. I don't know what you people, please tell me people got showered before. I'm awful. So that is basically, that's been my day. I've actually had a really good day. I rode all morning and then I got to swim. So it's a really hard life.
Yeah, and watch for the green water, because I hear nowadays they put something in the pool that if somebody does something in there, it turns green.
Oh, it's green now?
Oh, really?
It used to be red when we were kids. That's cool. That's cool.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. I don't know if they do it all over, but it's supposed to be in a lot of public pools these days. So you're busted if you do it.
Yes.
So, Steve, would you start out telling our listeners how you came up with the idea for The Inn?
Oh, boy. I am a huge Alfred Hitchcock fan. I'm a huge horror movie fan. I don't like bloody, gory, Rob Zombie kind of movies. I like the old school movie where the house is evil, don't go in the house, and those foolish people go in the house. And I'm a huge Hitchcock fan. So I actually wrote it. It was an outline for a movie or a book or a TV show. I didn't know what it was. It didn't even have a name. And then after the success of Pretty and the thought of doing another season of Pretty, I found it. I literally pulled the piece of paper out and looked at it. And I kind of sat down and started toying with it, and I realized that there was basically 15 story beats. And 15 story beats is 15 episodes. And we pretty much shot them as story beats, you know, that I scripted. I get a lot of complaints from those of you listening. I know you want longer episodes. I told everybody from the beginning, the scripts are 2 to 3 pages. We knew that going in. I will tell you that yesterday's new episode is a minute longer than normal, and Monday's coming episode, get ready for it, it's twice as long. It's actually almost 5 minutes long. So
Wow.
Yeah, it just edited. And you want to hear the funny part that Denise won't even remember, or it was a scene you're not in, but the scene goes on for another page and a half, and I decided to move it to the 5th episode because it just felt like it should go better in the next episode. So sort of splitting things around, and that's kind of how The Inn came to be. And then I did what I always do. I hired – this has happened so many times. I hire all my friends, including Denise and Ray Prussia and Chuck Sloan and Kyle David Pierce and Mark Gant. And then this happened with Pretty. Hire all your friends, and then the lead person, you're like, okay, hired everybody. why haven't I thought to cast the lead person?
You do that last.
I did it last time with Pretty. We hired everybody but Sam Pancake, and then we cast Sam Pancake. And Sam was a little bit of a stranger to me. We had met a few times, but thankfully I knew Crystal a little bit better. We were friendly, and we had had a few meetings together as fellow producers, and that's kind of how it all came to be. Anything you want to add, Denise? What do you want to add?
I just realized yesterday watching this current episode, which I love, and the last one, which you loved best, and the one before that, which was my favorite, that I didn't have a clue what we were making when we were making it. I kind of attribute it to the actor thing of you look through a script, seeing how many pages your character's name is on. Then you mostly look at your character's speeches and ignore everything else. And, of course, so much of the in. I've said before, and I've gotten in terrible trouble for saying it was really complicated, but it was. It was complicated because there was no way for anybody to have the overview of the whole project. And by the way, that doesn't mean I think that actors should not do this. I think any actor who's lucky enough to get asked should run, not walk, to say yes. But it was hard to grasp the overall concept for me. Maybe I'm the only one, but I don't think so. And to watch what Steve and, I primarily say Steve, but there's an extraordinary editor on this, an amazing young woman. What they put together always stuns me because I wasn't expecting it. So I have no idea what the point is I was making, but I do find that interesting, what I was just talking about.
Well, what you're kind of saying, too, is we move in the web series world, and Denise worked on Pretty with us, and she got to see us. Mm-hmm. There was a day on Pretty that Denise was scheduled for, and we were done with you by, like, 3. Mm-hmm. But Denise just, she stayed. We went really late. We went till 10 o'clock that night. And Denise, you stayed. And I kept saying, you know, you're released. And you kept saying to me, I know. I'm watching what you're doing. I'm fascinated by what's going on. It's a controlled chaos because you're working way faster. Because you're working mm-hmm. with very little money, very little time. And for me, you know, these wonderful actors I get to work with, I have to speak in a language at times that they're looking at me, and the looks, I wish we could film the looks that you guys really give me at times. Crystal and Denise and Mark at times are like, what? And I'm like, no, just if you turn your head over here, say the line, angle yourself, why would I do that? I've told this story before. There's a moment in the very first episode in February that we aired where I asked Crystal, I said, I need you to do something very Hitchcock. You cannot make direct eye contact with the sheriff. He has his back to you. I'm going to be very close on your face. I need you to just look at him, look at his badge by turning your eyes. Just turn your eyes. Like, I'm doing it right now. Like, just sort of turn your eyes. And she's looking at me like I'm nuts. And she's like, I think she wanted to say, what kind of direction? What are you talking about? And she said, okay, just film it. I'll try my best. So it was great because we filmed everything. When she saw it, I kid you not, she called me and said, I thought you were friggin' nuts, but now that I saw what you did, I understand you knew what you wanted. Maybe I didn't say it the right way, but I also didn't have a lot of time, so we had to move.
Right. Well, We've really learned, he gives you no choice. You just sort of do it. Remember when we did the promo, Mark and Crystal and me, and we did like 47,000 takes of it? Well, put together, it's my favorite thing. I watch it all the time. I watch it 2 or 3 times in a row and giggle myself silly. I think it's so funny. I think we're so funny. And right in the middle of that, Crystal says something like, I've never shot a promo like this before, as you had her climbing up onto the countertop.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know what we were doing. We had no idea what we were doing. This man is just, you know, like an amazing puppet master. But the wonderful thing is that there is such an atmosphere of love and warmth and joy, and you just go with it. I've never done anything like that before, or had to, or needed to, or been asked to misquote Crystal. But that's what I mean. I'm looking at it now, and I'm loving it so, so much.
you know, we had a moment with Denise's friend, Jeannie Francis, on Pretty, where we were filming. And like this promo Denise just told you about, it wasn't in the books. I just come up with things as I'm thinking of things. And I had this idea, because planking was like a really big thing a year and a half ago,
right.
2 years ago. And so I don't know Jeannie very well. I've met her now an hour and a half of filming. And I said to her, hey, do you know what planking is? And she's like, what? So we showed her a video, and she's like, what are they doing? And I said, well, that's not planking. And I said, I have this idea that I just came up with about, you know, literally when you walked in the door, well, we'll do a little planking promo. Would you be up for it? And Jeannie just looked at me, and she said, you want me to plank something? I said, no, I want Stacey McQueen to plank you. And she goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. You place me, I'll do it. And she sat down on my couch, and they nailed it. And we did two takes, and we were done. And you just, there's times when you just trust, like I said, I'm very fortunate that I have very dear friends like Denise and Crystal and Mark and the entire cast of The Inn and the entire cast of Pretty, that when I come up with something insane or I make a request that makes no sense to them,
right.
You know, it's a lot of time it's an angle where they're like, what are you filming? And I'm like, do you want to see it? And then you show it to them, they go, oh, I see what you're doing. And other times you don't have time, so you just go for it. So we had a lot of just going for it.
Yeah, there's a lot of trust there between you and the actors, so that's a good thing to have. Otherwise, you know, things could go very differently. Now, I want to let our listeners know who's in now. Jane is the main character, and she's played by Crystal Chappelle. Her husband, and I don't know his name yet, is played by Mark Gantz. Denise Alexander, of course, is Lola. Stuart Allen is the little boy. Ray Prosha as Teddy. Chuck Sloan as Riggs, and Kyle David Pierce as the man. Does the man ever get a name, too?
No, in the script, he's the man, and Stuart's character is the boy. But there will be a reveal coming up as to who they really are, and then you'll be able to understand a little bit more. I will tell you this. I haven't revealed this yet, but I'll go ahead and reveal it for you. Mark Gantz's character's name is Jeffrey. I can give that away.
Oh,
that's not a big deal.
Thank you.
You got the scoop.
That, by the way, means absolutely nothing.
It doesn't mean anything.
That's why he's giving it to you.
The one thing that everybody knows, people know about me, they knew this in Pretty, they knew this with The Inn, especially, I do not spoil, I don't give anything away. I love the experience of, would you believe nobody spoiled The Sixth Sense for me? In fact, I didn't see it in the movie theater. I actually had the flu. I told this story before. I had the flu. I had like 102 fever. I was sitting in my old apartment. Denise, do you remember my old apartment in Vista with the courtyard we had the Christmas party in? And
I loved that apartment, yeah.
My old little first apartment, and this is going back to like 1997, 98.
Where you met Jack?
Where I met Jack McCat when I was a young man, and I'm got 102 fever. I've run out to this to pick up a movie and Chinese food because I have this theory that when you have the flu and you're throwing up anyway, you might as well eat things you enjoy. I do it to this
right.
day. I never eat like I
love
never
that
eat toast.
Idea. I agree.
Toast or bananas. I don't. I eat pizza. I'll even eat like a pepperoni pizza because I'm not going to throw it up anyway.
Oh.
I might as well enjoy it.
Yes.
So
you
I'm
know it never tastes the same coming back up, though, right?
Oh, well, of course. Of course. But I'm sitting watching The Sixth Sense, and no one has ruined it for me. So I'm watching it on this tiny little TV that I had, and then it gets to that point where the ring drops off. He drops the ring. It falls off his finger, and it rolls across the room, and then the voiceover's going, and they don't realize.
There might be people who actually haven't seen it yet.
Really? Okay.
No.
Well, I won't
That's
ruin
from
the
a while
sense.
Ago. I would hope they would
have. I know. It was decades ago.
I don't want to ruin it, but Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's dad. Okay, anyway, so anyway, when they give the big reveal at the end of this movie, I got this giant, like I already had 102 fever. I got this crazy chill that went through me, and I sat on the floor. I started clapping, and I was like, that was good. You got me. And that's what I love to do. And I hope I can do that with every episode of The Inn. There are twists and turns that we plotted out. And
you know, the unexpected is so scary and fun to me, and that's the ride that I hope to bring everybody on.
You have. You've done that very well from what I've seen so far. I mean, I'm caught up, of course, to where you left off at, but there's times that I'm thinking, well, could she, is she, was he, you know, and then you got to keep watching because
why
you don't know
she?
For
I'll,
sure.
I'm not.
Wait, one more time, David.
What? And why isn't she? How come? And why not?
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
That was,
but Denise will back me up on this. That was every Hitchcock female lead character. They were never
mm-hmm.
who they said they were going to be. And we love that about them. He loved dangerous women. He loved, you know, Marion Crane was a terrible person in Psycho. She steals $4,000 or $5,000, and she drives away out of town with it. And she, you know, that whole part is, you know, sort of because she gets, you know, what comes to her pretty quickly when she enters Norman Bates' world, the hotel. But she wasn't a very good person. And there's a moment in The Birds, I talked about this too, Tippi Hedren's character moves to that small town, and that's when the bird infestation starts.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a moment where they're all going crazy because of the birds, and there's this moment where, unless I'm remembering this wrong, but there's a moment where a woman screams at her and says, you did this, you brought this, you brought this. It's because of you all this is happening. And then Tippi just slaps her. And it's so good because the character's so sweet and nice. And then maybe she's not so sweet and nice.
I honestly think Steve could teach a class on Hitchcock films. I think he knows them better than anyone I've ever known.
Oh, I have to agree with you there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you.
I'll take it.
I have a question for you, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
No, go.
The ball thing, which I love, with Riggs, the hands with the ball, which I was crazy about. Is that purely you, or does that reference something in Hitchcock?
Oh, wait a minute. When he reaches
for the ball, she pulls it up. He takes his hand away. And they move in sync. I love that.
That was that's from the first episode of this season. That was the third take. That was all Chuck, the actor. He did that himself.
Was it?
I didn't even direct them. We were in a third take, and she was holding the ball, and he reaches out for it, and she pulls it away immediately like a child. And we loved it. We're just like, oh, so good. The ball itself is a reference to a movie which I've talked about many times. I won't bore everybody again. There's a movie called The Changeling. Go watch The Changeling, and you will start laughing because the ball shows up. I stole the ball idea right from The Changeling because I love the movie so much.
I have not seen that movie yet. I think I started to watch it one day, and I don't know what happened where I never finished watching it. But is it with Eddie Alderson?
No, it's a George C. Scott movie.
Then maybe
George
it's a different
Scott.
One I'm thinking of.
It is a terrifyingly scary movie in its simplicity. There's no blood and guts. It is about a man who loses his family, moves across the country, and rents a house, and the house has a secret. And that's all I will say. It is the scariest movie. Do not watch it at night alone.
And thank you for telling me that.
And I think Denise will agree with this. I mean, George C. Scott was such a brilliant actor.
Oh,
and he's
sure.
so amazing in this. Anyway, so that's where the ball comes from. But that was all Chuck. Chuck's terrific.
That it was so gorgeous. I mean, it was just perfect.
Now, Denise, you in the series, you have white hair. Whose idea was for you to have that? I mean, it fits the part perfectly.
It was one of the things that Steve said to me that determined me that nobody else was going to play that part. He called it gray. It actually is called a gray. It's called a light salt and pepper. And when you put it next to real white, you can see the difference. And it was my effort to fulfill the description he had given me. And I love it, except it just, I had to struggle a little bit with it. I mean, I loved it. From the minute I put it on in the wig shop and I said, that's the one, and I sort of, you know, did myself up and looked in and thought I looked glam and gorgeous. And a wonderful, wonderful DP on whom I have the world's biggest crush was heard to say to Steve at one point, really makes her look older. And that guy
oh,
went,
yeah.
Shoot. I didn't say shoot, but I'm cleaning it up.
Yeah.
You know what's so funny? It's so funny because every time Denise and I have worked together, you know, in Pretty, we glammed her up to look like a beauty pageant,
right.
So she was, you know, gorgeous. And this is a time where I called her and I said, you're going to kill me because I need you to play beyond your age. And then she's like, you know, this is what every actress wants to hear. I need you to play an old crone.
Oh, my God.
But I love it. I love that wig. I love putting it on. I love being her. I love the way it looks on camera. I'm enjoying it hugely. I'm just saying to myself, where is it right now? I better go look for it. Okay. I'm just reminding myself.
What do you like about playing Lola?
I don't know. I love the description, and it was the gray bob that he told me was how he saw her, and I thought, oh, yeah. And then I got, very very soon after that, might have been the same day, Steve sent me the original script on Lola, on the inn, and I thought, okay, this is good, and I went back, and like you do when you're an actor, I just started reading her lines out loud. And I found her voice, and I don't know what it was. I just fell madly in love with her and felt that I knew who she was. And, in fact, she really has, and I was thinking about this today, she really has been a game changer for me in acting. I don't know how to explain it better than that to you because I haven't thought it through enough, but playing Lola, being Lola, finding Lola, having Lola there in me and her, whatever that is, and then having the freedom that you get working with. I mean, it sounds like he's a Svengali, but there's just incredible freedom working with him. And these are things that are outside of the norm for me. She made a huge, huge change in my life and in my work, which I'm now feeling because I went back to do some stuff on GH, and mm-hmm. I'm feeling it carry over there. So I don't know what it is, but I'm crazy about her.
We had a really fun time playing and creating that character, all the characters, but especially Lola, because Lola, especially in the first season, was a little bit of, you know, lightness and comic relief to a darker story. Mm-hmm. But keep watching because there's questions about exactly who everybody is as we keep going, so we'll see if that keeps going. But it was funny because Denise and I, 20 years ago, did my very first play. She was the star of my very first play, and she mm-hmm. played a Brooklyn Jewish mother, not quite far from my own. And when we were filming the inn, there were moments where I would say to you, Denise, where I'm like, you are starting to sound exactly like my mother. And you'd go, am I? Because we gave her a little bit of a northeastern, you know, New York, little bit of an accent. But every now and then we're like, I think we're going too far.
He said that to me once during the inn. He said, tone the New York down. And I thought it was wonderful. But
No, but she does it so well. It's just enough. It's just enough. You know, it's perfect because, you know, we question always, like, where are we? You know, clearly
right.
from our surroundings, and we, you know, Denise and I spoke about this a long time ago. This is not a New England inn. This is a middle
right.
of nowhere, you know, mountain town inn. Even, you know, the very first shot when you see Jane's car, which is actually our producer Heidi's car, and thank God Heidi got in a very minor fender bender. Because the very front shot of her car, you can see where the fender bender was, and she showed up. She's like, I had a little accident. I'm like, oh my God, even better. Because I was like, planning, like, because you know me, I would have taken a baseball bat to the front. No, I'm kidding.
No, he would not have, but he would talk about it a lot.
Right.
No, we find a way to spray it. But we had, that's the thing, is creating all those little nuances. And the question I keep getting over and over among many questions, which I love, one of the questions is,
is Lola wearing a wig? Not is Denise wearing a wig. Is Lola wearing a wig? And I love that.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh.
Huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Well, next time when we have a bigger budget, I'll get a real hair wig, and that'll solve the problem.
David, you had some questions for Denise, I believe.
Yes, Denise, who is Lola patterned after? And this is to both of you. What can we look forward to in Lola's life?
Who is she patterned after? Doing Mother's Day, which is the play that Steve was referring to earlier, which came from his psyche, his background. It's his mom. He would do his mom for me on the phone. And I had a lot of trouble getting the accent. But I finally did in time for the show. And when I met her, she sounds nothing like Steve doing her, actually.
Yeah.
But it's a fun thing to do. And when I found her voice, I don't know. All I can say to you is she came out of those pages. She suddenly was there as I started, instead of talking like me, and Steve talking about the comedy, there were certain lines that she had that I thought, oh, I'm going to get to say that. And then usually he would cut away from me at that moment to another character. But it's okay. I've survived that. She just was there. I don't know how to explain it to you. It was a very strange feeling. As I said, it was a game changer for me in acting and how I work and everything. She just was there, and I loved her. And the only thing I knew about her was it has been a long and colorful life. The sailor mouth side of me keeps wanting to come out, and I keep trying to stop
you. You can say anything you want to.
This
is internet radio, so.
I know, but I get carried away. You know, I was always such a shy kid and so well-mannered and such the good girl that I suddenly become, you know, the tart from the, because the fleet is in or something, I don't know. she's really straightforward, and she says it like it is, and she's the voice of, oh, cut the crap. And I love her. I don't think that I did anything to find her. I think she found me. That sounds bizarre.
Yeah, it sounds that way.
About it.
Sounds that way. Mm-hmm.
Now, what's coming up, Steve?
Well, before you go into that, if you could just give a quick recap for season one for our listeners, maybe those that haven't seen it.
Oh, sure.
That would be Steve. He'll do that best.
Oh, I can do that in 2 seconds. It's the rules of every horror movie. Don't break down. Jane's car broke down. Don't talk to strangers. She talked to strangers. And don't check in. And she checked in. That's pretty much, that was the promo that we wrote that I thought was funny, like when we did it. And then we did it without Jonathan Cook, the brilliant Jonathan Cook voiceover announcer friend of mine who put the voice in. He works all the time. And when he put the voice in, all of a sudden it wasn't, you know, tongue-in-cheek. And it was like, oh, crap, that's scary. Basically, Jane is broken down in a small town, and she checks into the inn, and as soon as she does, very strange things start happening. And we get to know her, and we get to find out about her, and we find out that her husband has passed away, and she's trying to get his ashes to some undisclosed location for some sort of ceremony, and they all offer to help, but no, she has to do it on her own, and Lola sort of takes her under her wing, and the sheriff's treating her kind of strangely, but then strange things happen at the house, and a very mystery ghost man confronts her, and then the truth starts pulling itself back, which is that we saw earlier that Jane takes quite a bit of medications. And when the sheriff finds all the medications, he collects them all. He's going to test them all, he says, and to prove that they're not illegal. And then he talks to her at the very end of the season, first season, and he says, you know, without giving too much away, I can't find the ashes to the husband you claim to have. And that's when we meet Mark Gant for the first time, who walks in and says, "I'm looking for my wife."
He has a picture of Jane.
Yes, and the photo she gave me, Crystal gave me a photo of her and her husband, Michael Sabatino. Michael is a little wink to the audience. He's the mechanic in all the episodes. I was going to play that part myself, but then I thought it'd be funnier if I asked Crystal's husband to do it, and he was happy to do it. So Crystal, on the first day of filming, walked in and handed one of our producers this photograph of her and Michael. And then our producer said, "Oh, you know, can we do whatever we need? Do you have a copy of this photo?" And she said, "Yes." And I don't know if you were there, Denise, but Heidi just tore it in half. Michael, ripped. And it was great. And Crystal sort of laughed, and I'm like, "Here, take that." Uh-huh. And, you know, she's like, "Take it back." But it's a fun story because we really, in the first season, we learned who Jane was per Jane, but someone else has arrived, and what she's telling us may not be the truth. In the next episode...
And even when she was telling it, she was not forthcoming. Ever.
Right.
She never looked at anybody. She never really volunteered anything.
Yeah,
well,
her eyes are lowered a lot.
Yes. Well, that's a classic thing. They always say that liars don't make direct eye contact.
Exactly.
And liars have a very difficult time remembering details because they're making them up as they go along. But the question is, the real question is, are you lying or are you so heavily medicated that you don't even know what's real and what's not real anymore?
And that's what I was starting to wonder, too, especially when her husband showed up. And, you know, you're seeing different things and hearing a different story at that time. And dear Lola tells him to go stay at the same place. And he doesn't get treated very nicely.
which says something about dear Lola, my fine viewing friends. What kind of nice lady is, like, in the middle of the night, "Go over to the inn. There's a crazy blind man."
My favorite thing thus far for me is, and that was the day when I kept leaning on my chin and I couldn't talk, "Go see Teddy, tell him Lola sent you." I loved that moment. I loved it.
I still can't figure out if Lola is psychic or she just knows everything.
I know.
Well,
she
says she's psychic. You know, she said in the first season she was psychic. She's mysterious, and she's not interested in having anybody know anything about her. And I had a friend many years ago that I worked with on a soap, still a dear and loved friend, who always had a look, all the years I've known her, which is 120 right now, always had a look where she'd look at you and it was just a look that, and she was stunningly beautiful. "I know a secret you don't know." Actually, I'm talking about Susan Flannery. And there's a little, Lola knows so much and has been through so much and is rough around the edges and is a big city girl, and only she'd say gal, and is not a shrinking violet. And see, there I am. I'm in love with this character, so I'll shut up and let Steve talk.
Steve?
Oh, well, I don't have anything more to... I don't know. I can't really add anything more. I don't want to give... I can't give anything away. I won't give anything away.
I know. That's the hard part. Well, how did you come across the house that you're using?
Careful. Oh, Steve, did you see? Somebody made a comment about it was a house from Topanga Canyon. We don't tell where it is. Go ahead, Steve.
Someone I know, who's a very good friend of mine, she and her husband own a wonderful piece of property. And on that piece of property is this gorgeous house that was built in 1908. It was actually moved from the original location into this new location. And we lucked out, and this wonderfully sweet friend of mine allowed me to film there at a muchly discounted rate of what she normally charges the average Joe. And they were, thankfully, they were thrilled to have us because I've gotten compliments from both of them on how much they enjoy it. I don't think, at one point they were, her husband was asking me, was thinking about putting episodes of The Inn on their website to try to get people to come up there and have weddings and stuff. And I didn't think that was a very good idea. I don't think people would want to. You know, a great thing about the house is everything, you know, it's pretty. We had to do so much production designing. You know, we had to create a pageant for very little money. We had to create, you know, the Champagne's home, which is much different than the home of my friends who own that actual home. Mm-hmm. In the case of the inn, we didn't have to do anything. Everything you see was already there, minus the ball and some vials of pills. We didn't have to put any chairs in or move any furniture around or anything, even down to that brilliantly creepy picture that hangs in the living room. One of my favorite things that I love to tell everybody is I was so happy. You know that season one, episode three, Crystal's character Jane, she's out smoking. She comes in and the window keeps opening in the living room.
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes.
That's
and the
screeching.
Light.
And the light. That light is the light in the house. We rigged it ourselves with a little, it took us 2 seconds to rig it. I'm actually the one clicking on and off. There's a moment in our outtakes where I'm so into what Crystal's doing that she's pretending to turn it, and I turn it off set. I forget, but she turns to me. She's like, "You can turn it off?" And I was like, "Oh, I was all into your acting. You're so good." But the really funny thing is that, you know, in so many things, you know, we have to add in, you know, we add in wind and birds, and, you know, you can hear some dogs barking in the background of this latest episode. We added all that in post. But in the inn, when the window keeps opening itself and she keeps closing it, that's the real noise of the window. I was so happy that it wasn't, it's nice and screechy and old times, you know, it has that nice sound to it when you open it.
Yeah.
Oh, so nice. But it was really wonderful. And then the diner is a real diner, which you can go to in Los Angeles. It's in Echo Park. It's called Cindy's Diner. It's a functioning diner until 3 p.m. every day. And then at 3 p.m. when it closes, people rent it like we did, and you film in it. And the owner lets you film there. And
oh, that's so cool.
Yeah, it was really good. I mean, we toyed with everything. We toured all these diners, but it's really hard to find a diner that isn't open 24 hours, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you need it to your space. You need it to be quiet. We also toyed with the idea of building a diner, set, but found that would have been way too much money. And that's why, you know, it's interesting, and Denise will back me up on this, the diner that you see is 50% of the diner. It's a mirror of itself. It's the exact same setup on the other side. So we created a fake wall, like an imaginary viewer's wall that the camera would never move past. But if I pulled the camera back, you'd see the entire production department. I mean, we had like a foot away from where Denise is standing. It was like a rack of clothing and lights and tables and people just sitting there on their phones, and the actors are just acting and everybody gets quiet, and it's pretty funny how we did it. So this was an interesting one because, like I said, it was so different than pretty. So that's how we did it.
Oh, yeah, it's the complete opposite of pretty. And that's not to say anything bad, because they were both great, just in different ways. One's a comedy, one's a mystery.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, how many episodes are in season two?
The Inn has five. We shot 15 episodes, so there's 5 episodes a season. You guys are going to get 2 more episodes coming up, and then it'll be a big cliffhanger on July 1st, I believe, and we'll come back the first Monday of October, and we'll take you the 5 episodes after that. And this is a series. We have shot it all. It's done. There is a definite ending. It's not going to leave you. You will get the answers. I promise you'll get the answers to all your questions.
But with a big surprise.
Yeah, sure.
There's a few. Yes, there's a couple major surprises. The last episode, I think, will please everybody, because the last episode is going to probably come in around 8 or 9 minutes. It's a very long episode. So you guys have gotten a bunch of short episodes, but we're going to retell in the very last episode in November. We'll take you through the entire show, all
really?
The episodes again. Yep.
Oh.
We're going to recreate it for you so that you can, because sometimes, like, you forget details, so this way you'll go, oh, that's why he did, you know. And certain questions will go unanswered because that is how life works. So one question that will go unanswered is Lola wearing a wig?
Oh, gosh, now I gave it away, too. I should have said that's my real hair. Steve, you have to just prep me for these things.
Oh, if anybody's heard, well, then they would think you got a really good wig for General Hospital.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. That would be fun.
You should show up to GH one of these days in that wig and see what they say. Say you changed your hair.
I do love that wig. I do. I think I look way better in it than I actually do.
It
actually is a great look on you if you were to go with that color hair and that cut.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, there's not a lot of people that can pull that off.
Including me. Thank you very much. It was just too easy. It was too easy. A cheap joke, too easy.
Well, Steve, are you working on a new series? Because after this one wraps, what do we get next?
We film something top secret with a bunch of our friends. And I can't really tell you too much about it because it's top secret, but you'll be seeing it later. This summer, it'll actually come out before we finish up the end. It'll come out probably in August or September. It's really fun. And then on top of that, this August, we're actually doing a live event. We are doing the first ever Hot as Hell Fan Fest here in my hometown of Palm Springs. In
August,
August
when
16.
Everybody in town leaves.
Yes. And Denise will be there. And Crystal will be there, and Mark will be there, and Kyle, and cast members from Venice, Pretty, Fumbling Through the Pieces, and Divanity. We are, it's going to be at the Riviera Hotel, which has been refurbished. It's where Frank Sinatra and Sammy Davis and Dean Martin used to play before they go to Vegas. And we got a really great deal with the hotel. First of all, the hotel discounted the rooms. They're only $99 a night, which is a steal, because the hotel is normally in the summer, even for the Riviera, almost $300 a night.
Really?
It's swank.
Oh, wow.
Yes. It's swank. And then on top of that, because I'm such a good negotiator, they have a daily $28 resort fee that I got them to waive. So you're only going to pay $99. And then we're selling tickets. It's at brownpapertickets.com. I encourage everybody to go to brownpapertickets.com and type in Hot as Hell and come join us. We have six or seven events all weekend long. And the big event is Saturday night, which is in the main ballroom. We have a giant, I think it's 9x16 screen. We are going to show episodes of all our shows, turn the volume down, and the cast will be handed microphones, and we're going to do live audio commentary through our own shows. And I think it'll be a riot. So it's really fun. It's going to be a really, really, really fun weekend.
And that's August 16th and August 17th and August 18th. So it's the whole weekend.
It's the whole weekend. And if you're thinking about flying in, you can fly in, believe it or not, to Palm Springs fairly cheaply because, as Denise pointed out, it's a billion degrees and no one in their right mind comes here in August.
Right.
But you can also find deals into Ontario Airport.
But everything is air conditioned. I mean,
everything. Yes.
It's going to be very comfortable.
And there's a beautiful giant pool, actually two pools, bars. And then I also encourage people to look into Ontario Airport, which is only about 45 minutes away because they have great deals. That's where a lot of people seem to be flying into and just renting a car out of Ontario and then driving over. It's going to be a blast, and it's going to be just so much fun. But, like, Crystal Chappelle will be there. Sean Christian's going to be there. Michael Caruso will be there. Joan Van Ark and Michelle Lee will be there. Kirsten Banks is going to come from Pretty, Stacey and Terry and Michael, and it's going to be a giant fun reunion. We already have about 55 people coming. So
It's
going to be a nice little crowd. So anyone listening, like I said, go to brownpapertickets.com. The ticket is a deal. It's a screaming deal. Get it now before it goes up on July 1st.
And anybody who's never been to Palm Springs, it's a must see.
Oh, yeah.
I've been I've been to California a couple times, but not to Palm Springs. I actually had an aunt that lived out there, but any time that I made it to California, she seemed to be in L.A. or Riverside.
It was probably
where
August.
We were going.
Well,
so I would love to get down there. I mean, I'm going to try to, but I can't promise. But I would die just to be there because so many of my favorites from the web series and, of course, television, movies, and everywhere else, you know, are going to be there all at one time. I mean, my gosh, what more can you ask for?
We have a really great lineup of people. And, we also have Dan J. Kroll is coming from Soap Central Live to do host a panel. Michael Fairman is coming in from Michael Fairman has his own website, Michael Fairman on Soaps, I think it's called, and he's hosting a panel. And Sheena Metal from the Sheena Metal Experience is coming out and hosting a panel. But we're also doing a lot of surprise stuff, which will be really fun. And all your breakfast, there's a big breakfast in the morning for about, we have little events in the morning, and there's a big breakfast is all included, and there's food as the days go out, you know, day goes along. One thing we're doing is we're leaving Saturday completely open from about 11 a.m. until the 5 o'clock happy hour so that people can go lay by the pool, go into town. There is a free shuttle every 45 minutes from the Riviera. It's air-conditioned. It's a trolley car, and
that's
it drops
fabulous.
You off downtown. It's fantastic. It drops you off, and it'll pick you up, and then it'll take you right back. But I encourage everybody who's coming. We talked about it, and we're like, we're doing two Friday night events. We're doing a morning event on Saturday, two Saturday nights events, and a morning Sunday event. But we agreed to leave Saturday wide open because if you're going to come here, you might as well get a little vacation trip as well in and not be sitting in a ballroom the whole time. Let's all go outside. And Michael Caruso already told me that he wants to take he's always wanted to go up on the tram. There's a tram that takes you up the mountain. It's beautiful. And
so it's up to where you can ski.
Exactly. It takes you way up, and it takes about half an hour on the tram. And I think it's only $16 in the summer. And Michael said that he's going to organize anybody who wants to go with him, that he'll drive over there, and everyone can caravan over there and get up the tram. It sounds really fun. So, like I said,
it's a wonderful city. I love Palm Springs. It's so beautiful.
And it'll be fun because you're going to get to see the real Denise Alexander after I put a few drinks in her.
I think you see the real Denise Alexander and Lola. I really do.
Yeah. And Diane Delano, I just absolutely adore her as well. So I would imagine she's a lot of fun to hang around too.
I think so. She's going to be there. Kelsey Robinson's going to be there. They're talking with. We haven't gotten a confirmation yet back from Hillary B. Smith because she was waiting on her One Life to Live schedule, but we're hoping that it's going to work out that we can get her out there for it too, and it'll be really fun. I hope a lot of people will show up and have a good time. And there's part of me that wants it to be like 200 people, but then there's this other part of me that wants it to be like 50 or 60 because I think it'll feel a lot more homey. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I'm on the fence. We got hotel bills to pay, so I don't know which is the better answer.
Yeah.
Well, either way, I'm sure that anybody that does attend is going to be very happy and have a good time. Just to skim through it real quick, I'm looking at the website. On the 16th, it's 5 p.m., hot happy hour, 6 p.m., top secret event, so I can't tell you about that. Saturday the 17th, 9:30, roll out of bed with the Hot Creators panel, and 5 p.m., Smokin' Hot Guest Stars panel, 8:30, the main event, and then Sunday the 18th, 9:30, wake up with the Hot Cast panel, and I'm not seeing anything after that, so that would be the end of the day then, right?
Yeah, I think we're going to try to wrap up by 11 o'clock so people can check out of the hotel and get their, get going on the road and get home and stuff. I think we're actually flipping Saturday and Sunday mornings because of scheduling issues. So there might be a little flip there. And you will never get out of me what I have planned for everybody for Friday night, the surprise event at 6 p.m. And the few people who know, and there's only very few, all busted out laughing when I told them what we're going to be doing. We are literally going to be at 5 o'clock at a happy hour in a lobby of a ballroom. It's a gorgeous lobby. And then a pair of side doors will open, and everyone will be encouraged to come on in, and you will all see what takes place next. And I think
everybody will get a really good laugh.
Oh, just tease us, tease us, tease us, no matter what you're doing, an event or a web series. I mean, my gosh, we're always guessing. But that's a good thing. I love mysteries, so, you know, this all works for me. And I'm going to try really, really hard to get to this. Now, as far as ticket pricing, it's $159, and then with the fee, it's $165.56 for an all-access weekend pass. If you purchase it before July 1st, right?
No, I think it actually already went up. I think it's up now to $189.
$189, okay.
Yeah, I think the $159 was for the month of May, and the
May.
Month of June is $189. And then it's going to jump up again in July to $239. But even at $189, folks, you're going to six events with food. Pretty good.
Right.
Pretty good.
Oh yeah.
You know,
that's
pretty good.
That's a great price.
Because I have people who told me that like the General Hospital Fan Club weekend luncheon was like $199 just for the luncheon. I heard that's what it was, the ticket. That's somebody told me. I don't know if that's true or not. Which is a really, I mean, that's really kind of pricey. But I mean, you get to be with the whole cast and you get to be with everybody for 4 or 5 hours.
Well, it's
like
a great event. Yes, it really is.
Yeah.
Yes.
But we're offering for less an entire weekend. And so
with more fun
and
stuff. I think you've Steve is so creative. It sounds like a lot of fun.
I think we have a ball.
I'm sorry.
Ooh,
my
dead
phone
silence.
Cut off.
Somebody
there.
Talk.
I heard everything you said, but I'm talking and nothing's coming out.
Oh.
Is that you doing that to me, Steve?
I don't have any powers, no.
You're switching, instead of the light off, you're switching my phone, I think. Well, if everybody, you know, attends, whether it be 50 people or 200 people, it'll be well worth their time, and what you're doing for them is just awesome. Are you in charge of this whole thing?
I'm in co-charge with Julie Smith from Funneling to the Pieces, and one last little thing I'll tell you to wrap it up about it is that we are putting together Crystal and Krista Morris from Venice, Michael Caruso from Divinity, Julie from Fumbling, and myself from Pretty in the Inn. We are putting together videos for you guys, anyone who attends, that you will not see anywhere else. We have behind-the-scenes footage of the inn that I will never air anywhere except for Hot as Hell. We have a blooper reel featuring Denise Alexander from Pretty. Denise decided in Pretty to make an entrance, it was her idea, on a, what would you call that, Denise, a mover's cart?
It's one of those carts that the guy who fixes your car lies on the floor, so he's right under the car.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. I have the full footage of Denise literally being handed the
cart. Excuse me, I've got to dial my attorney very quickly, I'll be right back.
Uh-huh. I have the full footage of Denise insisting she can do this, and I plan to show all of it because it will make you laugh so hard. She's very nimble. I'll give her that. She's very nimble.
That was fun. I like that.
But
just another thing real quick, I want everybody to know that those prices that you're purchasing for your tickets, that doesn't include, you know, like you said, the hotel, but it also doesn't include your flight. So you have to pay for that as well.
Yeah.
We don't want somebody waiting at the airport and not have a flight.
Listen, I'm a driver, and I drive all the time. I just drove to Vegas to see Ray Prussia, who plays Teddy. He was working in Vegas a week ago. I drove out last Wednesday, and I drove home the next day on Thursday. It's a four-hour drive, and I love it. So anybody who needs to drive in from Arizona, Nevada, L.A., get in your car, come take a drive. It's an hour and 45 minutes out of L.A. You can listen to a nice book on tape.
Yeah, we don't want you bringing your little tablet with and watching any movies while you're driving. So make sure you just have the radio on.
Exactly.
Well, I want to thank both of you for joining us tonight. I really, really enjoyed speaking with both of you. And I will let you know if I'm able to make it. It's just,
that would be great.
Gosh, you don't even know how much I want to be there, but it always, you know, comes down to the funds thing. But I'll see what I can work out.
you go and rob a bank. No.
Denise, can I borrow that wig?
No. See, I'm ambivalent. Letting it go to anybody else.
Yeah.
Even for a crime.
Yeah.
We'd love to see you. We'd love to see if David can make it. We'd love to see you. And
are you and David in the same town?
No, I'm in Chicago, and David's in New York.
Ah.
I love that.
Yep, we're all over the place.
I love that.
And I have another co-host, and she's in Atlanta. So we just do
that. Isn't it wonderful? Just the world is right there at your doorstep.
Yeah. I mean, thankfully, Blog Talk has a call-in show. Otherwise, we'd never be able to do this.
Oh, nobody called in. Oh, we called in. I see what you mean. Okay.
We all call in. Yep.
Aha, that's right. All four of us are calling in. Yes, of course.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
So, you know, we love it. But thank you again. And Denise, will we be seeing you on GH again anytime soon?
I believe, about mid-July.
Okay. Okay.
Oh, I had something that I just thought of.
Go ahead.
Denise?
Yeah.
Yep. You can use that wig to hit Scotty.
I love, I must say, the treat of working with the people that I've worked with. I love Kenny, and I love Jeannie, and I love Tyler, and it was wonderful. I had the best time. Everybody who's gone back says that, but certainly I can speak for me. I was very well served and cared about, and the character was cared about by Frank and Ron, and I had fun. Scared silly, but fun.
Well, I called Denise after the first or second episode or third episode, whatever it was, aired.
Yeah.
And I said, do you remember, I said, or maybe I emailed you, but I said, thank God somebody finally said, Scotty Baldwin, you killed Rick Weber. Like,
I know, right?
It's time somebody... It was great, and I told you, I told Denise, I said, the way you handled that, of like, you know, kind of hedging around, why don't I have your blessing, and hedging, and then finally you just exploded and screamed it. I was like, thank you, suddenly, like, thank you for pointing out the obvious that no one's been able to say.
Well, the words were from Ron and crew, and the emotion was from knowing the character really well.
Yeah.
I loved? Steve told me this story, too, as he was sitting there in his home with his beloved Jim, and I didn't believe you said this. I really didn't believe you said this.
This is going to be good.
When Scotty was saying, well, we don't have a rabbi, a priest, or somebody who can do this.
Oh, it's true.
And, I mean, I was just stunned. He went into the other room to get some coffee or something and yells out from the kitchen, how about me? Or I don't remember your exact words, but
yeah.
That was
I yelled
a lot of fun.
Right before Leslie Weber said it, I walk into the kitchen and my back to Denise, well, who's going to marry us? And then I'm like, I can marry you. And then Leslie goes, I can marry you. And Denise and Jim turns to me and goes, how did you do that? I go, please, I could write this shit myself. Like, we started laughing. I said, actually, that's pretty good because I would have written that. I would.
Leslie actually said, and this, I loved this dialogue, so I'm going to say, well, there's me. Now,
right.
Is that a great line or is that a great line?
Yeah, because everybody looked like, what? What is she talking about?
I know, but
I know
Steve
it.
Knew it ahead of time. Do you see what it is like to work with and for and about and with the material out of this person? He's just bizarre and wonderfully unique.
He's
going to get mad at me because I said that, but he is.
I'm not. I honestly wanted actually Leslie, instead of to say the whole Wiccan thing, I wanted her to be like, well, I have these two gay friends, Chad and Craig, and like tell a whole gay story, because I thought that would have been hysterical.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure they thought about it because the way it was written was, well, I went online and got ordained to marry two very dear friends. And I thought that was the subtext, really.
Right.
I bet you gals are two guys.
Right.
Yeah.
I loved it.
Either way would have been great. I mean, I was just shocked that it was a Wiccan. I mean, you don't hear that on TV at all.
Bizarre. Worthy of Steve Silverman.
I had nothing to do with it. I had nothing to do with it, but if Frank or Ron would ever like to hire me, I would happily write for them.
Yeah.
You guys would probably get along great.
Well, we'll talk
about that.
Yeah. Okay, good. We'll see what we can do. Thank you so much for having us. Everyone who's listening, like I said, if I can plug it one more time, please don't hesitate to go watch The Inn at theinnseries.com. You can also look us up on YouTube under, it's actually under the Pretty channel, the Pretty the Series channel.
Yes.
And then please go look at brownpapertickets.com, type in Hot as Hell. It'll give you a big rundown of everyone who's coming, and it's going to be a blast. And I just hope, I'm so excited everybody's coming to my town. So
yeah. And when you watch the series, watch from the beginning. When you watch the end, they're short little, but believe me, like a million times richer experience. And they're all there. They're all available for you right now.
That's right.
All the episodes.
It's all there. And like she said, if it takes you more than 15 minutes, there's something wrong with you.
Oh gosh, yeah. It flies by way too quickly. So I'm happy to hear that there's going to be some episodes a little bit longer.
Oh yeah.
Before
this,
you
this
take
Monday,
a break.
I
hate those breaks, but you know, you do what you have to do, and we got something to look forward to. It's almost like having a Christmas present to open, you know, a little bit at a time, or a birthday gift or some kind.
Exactly.
Well, thank you again, both of you, very much for joining us. And we'll keep watching you on the Inn or in the Inn or however you put it.
Excellent.
And also on General Hospital and anything else you have coming up.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Both have a good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, my gosh. Well, it was so wonderful listening to both of them speak. They both absolutely adore, and I'm sure the rest of the cast adores what they're doing and playing on the Inn and anything else that Steve comes up with. I mean, because Pretty the Series was so, so funny. I mean, you saw actors that you watch on, you know, your soaps doing these parts on these web series, and they're totally different. Have you watched Pretty yet?
I haven't got the opportunity to watch Pretty yet, but I'm on my way.
You have to watch it. I mean, you'll be laughing so much you'll have tears coming out of your eyes like I did. It's actually belly laughs. And then I love how he completely went to the other spectrum with the Inn, and now it's more like a, you know, spooky, mysterious, psychic, you know, thriller kind of thing. So I'm really looking forward to the next few episodes until we take that break. Because you can't figure out what's going on there.
I know. By the time I figure it out, it's all over.
Yeah. Well,
I'm trying to figure this out.
I know. When Mark Gant's character came on this last episode, you know, Crystal Chappelle's husband, and Teddy, the guy at the Inn, you know, knocks him out and then drags him up those stairs and puts him in the bed and puts handcuffs on him. Did you see how he took his shirt off so nicely and he folded it up and put it at the edge of the bed? That cracked me up. That was so funny.
I got to check that part out. I must have been away or something.
It's funny.
I got to go back.
Him to the bed, and he puts tape over his mouth. And when he was putting the tape over his mouth, he actually got on top of him and sat on him. And I'm thinking, what is this guy going to do to him, you know? I mean, your mind goes into 20 different places with that, so... It's really, really, really good, and I really love that Steve has this type of imagination.
He's amazing. I just
most
love
definitely.
All it takes is about 3 minutes, and then you're and then you're into it, and then it's time for episode two.
I know. I know. You're like, wait a minute, is there a commercial coming up or what, you know?
No.
And then you realize it's the end.
That's the good part about, that's
right.
The nice part about these webisodes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you don't have to, you know, plan your day around watching it, because all you need is a good half hour or an hour, depending on what you're watching, to catch up on the whole webisode.
That's
now,
true.
You had an announcement you wanted to make. What was that about?
Oh, yes, I do. Okay. On July the 20th, if we have a GH50 treat, Lisa Lo Cicero, who plays Olivia Falconeri, and Scott Reeves, formerly Steve Weber, will be in Syracuse at the NBT Bank Stadium.
Oh, at a stadium?
Yeah, it is. It's a baseball park.
Oh, cool.
Yep, it's at the baseball park. And I'm encouraging everyone who's ever in the Syracuse area to please check this out. If you want information, I want you to call 1-315-474-7833 and ask for Wendy, and she will be glad to tell you what is going on with the event. Last I knew, I think it was $100 only,
mm-hmm.
because it's a summer special, because they got, you know, the VIP section, and then they got the meet and greet, and then I think they're going to be be at the game, and I think Scott and Lisa are going to have a little something there, and Scott may be throwing out the first ball.
Oh, how neat. I bet he'll enjoy
that.
That's
what they do. We're hoping this is what it comes to. We want people to please sign up. I am going to try and make it there myself, but we got to see what's what. So far, we have 10 people going, and we would like more. So please help us out.
Okay, wonderful. And is there an email address or anything like that to contact Wendy?
Yes, there is. Are you writing this down for me?
Yeah.
yeah. On that for them? Okay.
Yeah.
It's you can get in touch with Wendy at wendy@syracusechiefs.com.
And I will tell who she's rooting for there, huh?
Yep. She runs the ballpark.
Yeah.
She does run. So it's Syracuse's Syracuse.
Okay, so anybody interested, and you're available in that area to go, make sure you call her or send her an email to find out more about it. And it's on what day, July?
July the 20th, Saturday, 20th. July 20th. That's what
they
call
time?
It, Soap Opera Saturday. I believe it's VIP is at 1 o'clock, but she will have more information. Things may have changed, but call and she'll give you more detail.
Okay, and what's her Twitter?
Her Twitter is Islands Forever. ISLANDS 4. EVER.
Okay, well, great. And if you can, you know, tweet to her on Twitter if you don't have a pen and paper right now, as David was giving you the information, and, you know, ask her to contact you and, you know, get your tickets and go. I mean, if I lived in all these areas, if that was local to me, I would be there. It makes it a little bit harder being in Chicago and I'd have to fly to New York, or if I'd have to fly to Palm Springs to go to the Hot as Hell event. And believe me, I'm going to try everything possible to be able to go to that. You know, I'd be there in a second flat. They just don't have too many things going on here. Once in a while, they have some soap events, but not as many as they do in New York and California. And that's understandable, too, because that's where the actors are.
Right, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to give a hint that who she's been trying to get out there. She is trying to get Michael Easton. Somehow, but she has told me that he's a little bit shy when it comes to baseball parks. Maybe a little too
really?
Much. So maybe more of a fall event. But, you know, she does about maybe 3 of these a year consecutively. So the next soap opera Saturday, I believe will be in November.
Okay.
So,
okay, well, we look forward to see what she comes up with next, because I've heard that her events are great. And thank you to Michelle. She says she just tweeted out the information, so that's wonderful. Michelle is always
there,
Johnny,
her.
On the spot. She's a great girl. She's a great friend.
Yes, she is. Thank you, Michelle.
And before
and
we let everybody go, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And Wendy thanks you, too, because she's aware. What you're doing.
Wonderful. Well, before we let everybody go, I just want to let you know you can follow us on Twitter as well at Take Two Radio. That's with the number 2. You can follow David and Sabina, my other co-host, at Take Two Radio Crew. And then follow us on Blog Talk. They'll send you out an email each and every time we have a guest scheduled. And by the way, I do have a couple guess that I may be confirming for next week. I'm just waiting on a couple of emails to come through. And I do definitely have one scheduled for June 26 at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, but I'm going to put that on the website in a few days once I get confirmations from these others so I can do them all at one time. And then on June 28th, we have another one. So I have quite a few soap people coming, and they may not necessarily be on soaps anymore, but you should recognize them. Right, David?
Oh, yes, yes.
So you can check it out on my website at Take Two Radio. It'll be on the homepage once I put it on there. You can listen to the previous podcasts on the website or on Blog Talk or on iTunes or on Stitcher, which is a mobile app. You can download it to any of your mobile devices, and it's all free, which is wonderful. That's one of the best words in the world, free, right?
Yes.
So follow my tweets or follow David's tweets from his Take Two Crew Twitter. Check out the website, follow Blog Talk, and you'll never miss a guest that you would like to hear from. And as always, you can call in to speak with them. It's 1-718-506-1540. Don't be shy. Call in. They are wonderful to speak with. If me and David can do it, you can do it. Right, David?
That's right. they put their slippers on one shoe at a time like we do.
Right.
And just think of it this way. They're just a person with a different job than you are.
That's right. That's right.
But they just have a lot. It's just the publicity.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't walk down the street and get recognized by strangers, and they do. And I think that's probably the only thing that's different from them, you know, to the regular public.
Right.
So Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. Go buy your tickets for Hot as Hell. Go watch The Inn at The Inn. Does he says at theinseries.com. Oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. If you put in The Inn Series in Google, it'll come right up. I'm going to do that real quick. Even if you put in Pretty the Series, they're both on the same website, and you'll be able to watch both of them there. And, David, I highly recommend that you do that as well. Yes, it's The Inn Series. If you put that in, it'll bring it right to you, and then you can watch it. And with that, I'm going to say good night, everybody. Thank you, and God bless you, and we'll see you again soon. Take care. Goodbye, David, and thank you for joining me again.
Oh, you're very welcome. Good night, everybody. Have a fun evening.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.